Hi, I'm the newest tenured professor at Strixhaven. Kira!
Hi, I'm the worst instant spell to ever be banned. Maya!
And today, we wanted to have a little bit of a discussion about why we are so firmly in the camp of saying it is better to learn Standard than to learn Commander if you are a first-time Magic player. And there's a myriad of reasons and a lot of different nuance that goes into this statement. Not only are we a little bit biased, we are both Standard players and Standard enjoyers, Standard enthusiasts, Standards, but there's a lot of thought that goes into it as well in terms of the number of cards that new players are exposed to, the play patterns and styles, and just how learning in a more limited card pool environment can be beneficial to the overall growth of a new player.
100%. Magic is a complicated game.
Yep.
And I don't know, I mean, that's not true. I do know that you have tried to teach people Magic. That's how we met.
That's how we met.
But you know that Magic as a game to learn from somebody who has never played before is tricky. It is not an easy thing to pick up. And part of that is the complexity of the rules before you get to the complexity of the cards.
Magic is, by definition, the most complicated card game that has ever been made. There is a really fantastic video that's been done on how you can build a computer out of Magic cards and game actions taken within a game of Magic. Like, you can build a computer, and obviously I don't mean like power boards and wires and things like that, but a program that can compute. Because Magic, computing is something that used to be done by hand.
Magic is, in fact, Turing complete.
It is an incredible showing of how complex and complicated the game is, and that can make learning it really, really difficult. So when we say you should start to learn Magic by playing Standard, why are we saying this?
So it's actually a little bit of a lie. I don't think you should learn to play Magic by playing Standard. I think you should learn to play Magic through the Arena tutorial. I, generally speaking, am not a fan of online tutorials as a way to introduce someone to a paper card game, because I feel like you miss out a lot on what makes a card game really compelling and the fact that you get to do it with people you like and spend time together. For Magic, Wizards has put a lot of time and effort into making the Arena tutorial really good. It's really accessible. The explanations are clean. And the big thing is you learn by doing, right? And the person who's teaching you doesn't have to set up each scenario differently, which you could do if you really wanted to, but it would take a great deal of time. The beauty of it being automated is that the scenarios are pre-set up. You have a digital helper in, I think, Sparky, is it?
Yes.
Who will walk you through how the game plays. You can take it at your own pace. You can skip it if you need to. But the fact that it is there and it is very visual and it is very engaging and you take the game actions, you're not having somebody just explain it to you for 45 minutes, is awesome. And because Magic is quite a complicated game, while a lot of the rules are like surface level intuitive, I think doing it on Arena is definitely the best way. And having someone there to be like, to help you and then to sit down after you finish the tutorial and play Magic with you, right? But that is part of the reason why I think Standard as kind of like a next step makes the most sense.
And obviously what we're saying, you know, Standard can be replaced in this instance with any constructed style of play with a more limited card pool. And that includes things like the starter decks, like the starter kits are really, really good. Welcome decks are really, really good. And the reason for that is consistency. In constructed formats, you are allowed up to 4 copies of any card within a deck, excluding basic land types. And the reason that that's so good for new players is repeated exposure. The first time you read what Cutdown does, you have to think about it and process that information. But the second time that you see Cutdown, you have had the first exposure to better understand what the card is and what it does. And the third time you see it is a reinforcement of how it works, how you play it, and how to utilize it. And in constructed formats, that repeated exposure builds better, you know, playing memory. You are more familiar and more able to recognize the same thing twice as compared to a singleton format, where each time that you interact with a new card, it is the first time you're interacting with it. And so, you know, standard here can be either the arena tutorial, which has a style of welcome deck or a style of starter deck that has multiple copies of the same cards so that you see it over and over again. The arena tutorial is also really fantastic in teaching you about the fundamentals of Magic. You in the tutorial will play a mono white deck, a mono blue deck, a mono black deck, a mono red deck, and a mono green deck. And in each of those situations, you will learn a little bit about the game philosophy and the design philosophy behind each of the cards. There's some incidental life gain in white. There's kill spells in black. There's ramp in green. And red's quite aggressive. And blue plays a little bit more tempo. And that also feeds into the learning and the knowledge and understanding how Magic works at a base level. Because not for nothing, Magic remains a complicated game.
Yeah, it really does.
And being able to simplify it in such a way that new players can engage with it and understand it in a shorter period of time across more games, as opposed to a long period of time across one game, in which the exposure is, you know, the number of cards you are exposed to is really high, and the time spent playing the game is also really high. Whereas in constructed, you know, starter decks, standard, arena, arena tutorial, it is more games with a smaller card pool over a shorter period of time. And that can just be overall a more enjoyable experience to have felt as though you have learned it quickly.
It is certainly much more digestible. And it's worth saying as well that Wizards of the Coast are, they're very good at what they do in terms of ingratiating new players into the game because, like, in part, that is their business model. The more people they have playing, the more packs they're going to sell, and that is only good for them.
Mm-hmm.
So they have these dedicated, really good, really well-tested, really well-established pathways to teach new players. And in paper, that is with the free welcome decks that you can get at your LGS or at PAX. And going from there into the starter decks, where there's this sort of linear growth in complexity, right? Where you go from playing with your just basic lands and your French vanilla creatures. So for those who don't know what French vanilla is, that is creatures that have keyword abilities but no other abilities. So things like reach and flying and death touch. And from there, you go into the starter decks where the cards are not necessarily as powerful as something like standard, but you get that slight growth in complexity. You understand that the face card of that welcome deck is the thing that your deck is doing. You associate that with the same way.
Mm-hmm.
But because you have a smaller card pool and you're interacting with a smaller number of decks than, say, something like EDH, which is the way I think most Magic players learn now, the learning experience is, A, much more digestible, but it is more kind of conducive to repeatability.
The way that welcome decks and the arena tutorials are built as well is to give you an ideal play experience. We are told when we, you know, we... For a couple years have taught people how to play Magic. And the first thing you always have to tell someone when you hand them a welcome deck is do not shuffle it. The cards are in a predetermined order to give you the best possible curve and draw so that you are able to take actions on pretty much every single turn of the game. And that lends itself to a positive learning experience. You aren't experiencing things like flooding out, having too much mana and no spells, or being screwed and having no mana and plenty of spells. And so the design to make the learning experience positive and fun is really important in keeping people playing the game. And that's not to say that learning Commander isn't fun or it can't be fun, but there are more situations in which there are a high number of variables that can lead to a neutral or negative outcome as opposed to a controlled, you know, environment and a controlled experience. And we're saying this, like, if you've played Magic before, this doesn't necessarily apply in the same ways. If you've never played Magic before, you should definitely spend time with the arena tutorials, welcome decks, and then starter kits, and even watching YouTube videos to get a better idea of how the game works and in understanding the rhythm of the game. You know, even just learning untap, upkeep, draw can be really, you know, those are important steps. And then you've got first main phase, combat, second main phase, end step, and all of the moments within those phases that you can react and do things. And keeping things as simple as possible in the beginning is certainly a massive task for the world's most complicated game, right? It's not a small order being put up there.
Certainly not. Certainly not. I will say as well, one of the most important parts of getting somebody to re-engage with the game is having clear reward pathways, mm-hmm. right? Having a clear desired outcome for the game. And when you're playing with welcome decks, or you're playing with starter decks, or even you're playing standard, you are very clearly incentivized with what you are aiming to do. You are aiming to win. You are aiming to get your opponent's life total from 20 to 0. And you don't have to engage with these other kind of complicated pseudo-social elements. And because the games are quicker and they are more condensed and the reward pathways are clear, it is easier for you to understand what you have to do to get better and to want to do better, because you get that reward more often, more frequently, and in a way that makes you feel like you're developing skill. In EDH, which again is the way that most people learn these days, there are a lot more skills you kind of have to develop if you want to be a good EDH player. And for a lot of EDH players, the goal isn't necessarily to win the game. In my experience, winning the game feels like a byproduct of a game of EDH more than the desired outcome.
There's a really great, I remember I was talking to someone who said when you have won an EDH game, the reward is playing another EDH game. That's like that's how you win. You win by playing more Commander. You know, it's not necessarily that you won that specific Commander game, it's that you get to play another one. That's the reward.
And while that is great, and nothing against that sort of like incentivizing you to play more games, that's awesome. I am here for that. It is confusing for a new player.
Yes.
Right? Having that be the goal, having to navigate that social situation when you are just newly picking up the rules is difficult. Mm-hmm. Similarly, if you learn the game through standard or through like standard-like formats or 60-card formats, it is easy to then convert that knowledge to EDH.
Yes.
It is very easy to go from, oh, I know what the cards do, I know how they interact. EDH is a different rule set, but I understand the nature of how the games work and can translate that to EDH.
It is definitely my opinion that it is easier to go from being a 60-card constructed player to being an EDH player than the other way around.
Absolutely, because EDH is such a kind of, it's almost like a separate microcosm of Magic, mm-hmm. except I guess it's a macrocosm because it's huge. It is a alternate rule set for the game Magic the Gathering, and it is incredibly cool, but it means that the transferable skill sets that you develop when you learn how to play EDH is going to be fundamentally different from the rule sets that you learn when playing a 60-card format.
And so let's kind of break down a little bit more. When we say, like, you should be learning standard, why are we saying this? Like, let's dive into that a little bit more, because the thing that I always say to people has to do with exposure. When you are playing a game of standard, you are likely going to be exposed. Let's say, Maya, you and I are playing standard together. You're playing Orzhov Pixie in this example, and I'm playing VV Cauldron, mm-hmm. just to name two decks that are very popular in the format right now.
Sure. I don't like my odds.
Well, I was going to go, you're playing VV Cauldron, but I didn't want to insult you.
Oh, well, thank you.
And so in a situation like this, there is going to be the overlap between our decks is pretty low. But in total, there are likely, because you have 75 and I have 75, that gives us 150 cards to deal with in this game. Because it's a four card, your playsets are four cards. You can have up to four copies of a card. Let's say that you have the maximum, of non-lands. And let's say that both of our decks, for ease sake, are running 30 lands each, right? That leaves 60 unique cards in the main deck between our two. And if you divide that by four, which I can't do in my head,
you end up with 15 cards.
You end up with 15 unique cards between both of our decks. You know, you have 15 and I have 15, and that's 30 cards. And that is, you know, we're ignoring sideboards in this example. But that is such a more approachable number of cards for a new player to interact with, especially when, you know, you've seen several cards multiple times. You start to recognize, you start to make those connections, you start to remember seeing those cards, and you remember what they do. Let's say you and I are playing two-person Commander, and you're playing mono green, and I'm playing mono blue. And there is zero overlap except maybe for Sol Ring, Felwar Stone, Thought Vessel, Arcane Signet. And there's four cards that we have in common. And let's say in this situation we have those four cards. Let's say
36 lands.
And 36 lands. There are 60 unique cards between the two, which is 120. Twice as, you know, more than twice as many.
Almost 10 times.
Yeah. So that level of exposure is a lot harder for newer players.
And even at the higher levels of complexity, so when we are sitting down and we're playing literally actually something like VV versus Orzhov, on average, a standard deck will have, across the main deck and the sideboard, something like 18 to 30 unique cards, depending on what you're playing. If you're playing a lot of one-offs, it'll be closer to 30. Mm-hmm. If you're playing a very like tight four deck like Vivi, it'll be closer to the 18 to 22 number. 44 cards to contend with is so much less than even in one v1 Commander, like you were saying, 120 cards. That's before you even get to a four-player game of EDH.
That's, yeah, again, that's even playing the game not the way it's supposed to be played. Even if it's just, you know, I'm teaching you how to play Commander for the first time. Your exposure level is so high, and I often see newer Commander players deeply overwhelmed, deeply confused. Everyone now needs to spend more time reading cards, explaining cards, remembering what the game pieces do. You know, you don't have to just contend with my board and your board. I have to contend with four boards that might have consequential game pieces, that might have enchantments and planeswalkers and artifacts, and everything has a different effect that reacts in some specific, you know, someone's got upkeep triggers, someone has end step triggers, someone has multiple combat triggers, and it can just get the informational load that is coming in a game of Commander can be 10 times as high as in a standard game or in a constructed style game, whether you're, you know, using welcome decks at a very low introductory level, using starter decks that you're at that mid-level of complexity, or you're playing standard.
The other thing I will say as well is that the complexity of EDH cards tends to be much, much higher than standard. And that is not to say that standard isn't complex. Like, trying to work out how the interaction between Agatha's Soul Cauldron and Vivi or Nidier works is, if you're not sort of already established in that rule set, it's complex, it's confusing, it's hard. But it is much less hard than trying to work out something like an Arkham-Dagson combo line.
Yeah.
There's a level of complexity and, importantly, a level of accessibility to standard cards, especially in paper and online through Arena, that makes it more appealing because there is an easier pathway to continue, right? If you're playing standard, it is reasonably easy just to be like, oh, I'm going to buy a box of foundations. And that's an expensive start, don't get me wrong. But that is something that you can do. It is easy. You will recognize all those cards. They are all standard cards. You know you can play them in your standard deck. Trying to read a precon as a new player is real hard.
Additionally, the way that you interact with the game of Magic itself in Commander, as we've already mentioned, versus standard, unilaterally, the goal of standard is to win.
Yep.
And it is not objectionable for that to be your goal. It can be objectionable in a game of Commander for your singular unilateral goal to be to win the game.
Is. I'm going to say it is.
I'm not ready to pass sweeping judgment yet, but there is, because there is a social rules element to Commander as opposed to in formats like Standard and especially not in Modern, there is a different way that you engage with the game when you are playing Commander as opposed to playing Standard. When you and I sit down to play a game of Standard, you know, at our weekly event at an LGS, I am not going to sandbag if you are, you know, flooding or if you are mana screwed. I will continue to execute my game plan, which is to win the match. And that's not always the same in Commander. You know, there's a lot of social rules and there's a lot of, you know, deference of, I see you've missed a land drop for the fifth turn in a row and you're still stuck on two. I'm not going to attack you, I'll attack other players who have a more developed board state, because it's seen as rude. And, like, fair enough, like, Commander is a deeply interesting social game of Magic. But that also means that learning those social rules is completely separate to learning the game rules and understanding what's a salty play, you know, what's a feels bad play. Is everyone really going to board wipe three turns in a row because they're frustrated? You know, it's a very different way that the game is played and interacted with. And as a new player, you know, already trying to learn about timing restrictions, when can I cast sorceries versus instants? Are my enchantments permanents? Where do they stay on the battlefield?
What does flying do?
What is flying? Menace, riot, what is horsemanship? You know, understanding and learning all of these new keywords, and then also having to still be playing within the social rules of the game just can just be deeply, deeply complicated.
I will say, I have a history of sounding somewhat vitriolic about EDH as a format.
Careful. Careful.
But that's not what I'm saying here.
Yeah.
Like, I am not saying Commander is bad. Grr. I'm saying that as something to, like, as a tool for learning the game of Magic, that is not what it is designed for.
Yes.
If you want to learn Magic, even if you want to learn Magic just to play EDH, you are going to be better served by starting with the 60-card formats, with the multiple formats, to establish a rule space, to establish an understanding of the actual mechanics of the game, of the cards and what they do, and then transitioning into Commander gameplay, then you are going to be from diving in the deep end.
Now, that is not to say that Commander doesn't have its merits.
Certainly
and I think
not.
And I think it's worth discussing briefly, like, what those merits are and why they are still important. And obviously one of the biggest things about Commander is how accessible it is. Wizards is constantly printing precons. Almost every single set that gets printed has accompanying Commander products. And that makes it highly accessible. If all you need to do to play a game of EDH is go to your local game store and buy a precon, sleeve it up, and sit down at a Commander event, that is a very reasonable and easily accessible way to play the game. There are not 60-card products in the same way that there are Commander products. We have had, you know, ye olde Challenger decks, you know.
Be still my beating heart.
We had ye olde Challenger decks. We had Pioneer Challenger decks. We had a couple of Standard Challenger decks. But we haven't really had 60-card products in the same way. Obviously, play boosters and booster boxes are more in line with the idea of 60-card products. But, you know, when you can, again, just buy a precon, that's so much easier. And that's a much quicker way to start playing Magic. And it's a much quicker way to get involved with Magic as a game. And also the diversity of Commander as a game. You know, every format has a metagame. It has decks that do well, decks that don't do well. There's different archetypes and different ways to engage. And Commander is the most unlimited of all of them. All you need is a legendary creature as your commander to build a deck around. You have color identity restrictions, but other than that, the world is your oyster. You can build any deck you want, whether it's a meme deck, whether it's a highly competitive CEDH deck, whether it's somewhere in the middle. You know, you got into playing Magic because you love Dungeons and Dragons, and you can make your Astarion deck. Heck yes. Hell yes. Like, that's amazing. Like, and now you feel a personal connection to the game because it's something that matters to you and is something you can connect with. The ability to be creative, the ability to build any deck that you want is incredible. And, like, that is something that is wholly unique to Commander.
The other thing to note as well is that while Commander having, like, a social rule set that you also have to learn is a bad thing, it being a social game is an overwhelmingly good thing for learning the game, right? Because it means that there is a lot of deference and a lot of effort given to teaching new players, to ingratiating them into this sort of, like, into the social system that is Commander, right? And people will take their time to do things like read the cards, explain it to you, identify what cards are the threat, even if it is against their own best interests. And that is really compelling. Like, learning the game of Magic by playing Commander with a beer in hand is not a bad way to learn how to play Magic.
Not a bad way to do it, to be honest with you. And that is something that gives Commander such a strong base for new players. Like, and it's very understandable from pre-cons to, you know, creativity and building your decks to the social element. It makes it so appealing. You can go and play with three other people. That is an inherently very social activity that you are doing. When you go to your LGS for a commander evening and there's dozens and dozens of people there, that's a community that you're a part of. The social building element of Commander cannot be neglected. And it's something that also isn't really replicable in other formats because of the competitive nature of 60 card. And so, you know, Commander absolutely has its merits, and it has its, you know, it's well cemented its place in Magic's history. It's never going away. It's only ever going to get bigger. The card pool will continue to get bigger. The amount of legendary creatures will always continue to grow. The number of Commander decks that you can feasibly conceive of playing will always, the number always goes up.
Number go up.
And it has a place. It absolutely has its place.
That's a big place.
And that's not to say that you can't learn to play Magic by playing Commander. That's not what we're saying. We're largely just saying that it can be deeply complicated, and the mental load can be quite high, and that there are, in our opinion, other better ways to do it. Come play Standard. Like, that's the ethos of it.
If you want to teach a new player to play Magic, I think you should absolutely do it through 60 cards, right? I think because it is less complex, I think because there are clearer pathways, I think because it is accessible and it is fun and it is repeatable, and then take them into Commander. Because they will inevitably get into Commander. That is amazing, and that as an endpoint is great, but I really do want this to be a public service announcement against using Commander as a way to ingratiate somebody into Magic for the first time. Because in my experience, as somebody who has taught a lot of people through Commander, I'm going to say it does not have a great retention rate.
It's very difficult. It's difficult in the way that it's difficult as a teacher to play two games of Magic. You know, you're playing your game and you're playing, you know, if you're all playing at the same pod, you're playing your game and you're playing the person that you're teaching's game. You know, there is far more sandbagging involved in terms of not going too crazy and letting someone do their thing, because you want the learning experience to be positive. It is genuinely my opinion that if you want to be able to bring more people in and you want to be able to teach more people how to play Magic, you should own a starter kit. You yourself should just own a starter kit. The Bloomburrow one is really good. I've heard fantastic things about the Final Fantasy starter kit. I do believe there's also going to be an Avatar: The Last Airbender starter kit.
Oh, that's exciting.
Yeah. You should just, if you want more people to play Magic with you, you should have a starter kit. Because it is I believe it's either 40 or 60 cards. It has multiples of them. It is repeatable. It is, you know, very easily learnable. And then if you are getting, you know, your friend that you are teaching is getting quite familiar with it, just switch decks. Give them the other one to play and have them learn a different style. And then once they've reached that point, you can introduce higher levels of complexity. But the crux of what we're saying is play Magic.
Play Magic. It rules.
Learn
it's
how to
so
play Magic.
Good.
Teach your friends how to play Magic. Get more people playing Magic. The more, the merrier.
More Magic, more of the time.
It is always very good to have people playing Magic. And we're seeing more and more people coming in with all of these Universes Beyond sets. And that's why, like, now more than ever, those starter kits are very important. Learning how to play the game from zero is very, very important. And doing it in a controlled way that has the highest, you know, rate of return is going to yield the best results.
Absolutely. And the fact that we have a starter kit for Final Fantasy and we're getting one for Avatar: The Last Airbender plays into that really well. New players will get to play with the cards and the characters that they feel are awesome, and that is exclusively a good thing.
Yeah. More players, always good.
More Magic! And with all that said, that's all we have for you today. New episodes release every week at 11 a.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time. You can find all our releases on Instagram and Blue Sky at RaysMTG. You can find Kira on Instagram at kirabobira.jpg and Blue Sky at kirabobira, and myself at MayaMTG on both platforms.
A big thank you to Hen House Recording Studios for the ongoing use of their studio space. And until next week, remember,
Coalstoke Gear Hulk.